Support for WPR comes from Milwaukee Film, presenting the 16th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival, featuring local, national, and international films, April 11th through the 25th. Tickets are at mkefilm.org. Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering canoes, kayaks, and advice for anyone wanting to experience solitude on Wisconsin waterways. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
Well, whether it's a couple of houseplants or several acres out back, most of us have some greenery around us that we tend to, and we know that our care or maybe your neglect affects those plants. But have you ever thought about what impacts those plants have on us? Hi, Larry Mueller here. Barb Larson, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Kenosha County. Our guest, she has a wealth of information to share. Always happy when she can join us on Garden Talk. And Barb, thanks for coming by.
I'm delighted. It's great to be here.
Well, I tell you what, it's great to have you here. And plants really, you know, they... If you've got some nice plants around the house or even in the office, it can kind of a calming effect, kind of
it
fun.
It can. And the there's all sorts of research now about the benefits of plants both indoors and outdoors, including reducing pain for making it healing faster. Mm-hmm. They found that hospital patients, if they can see natural spaces and green space, it's very beneficial. Children, it actually helps them learn better. It reduces kind of aggressive behavior, especially in boys. So there's great, I mean, most of us that are gardeners say, oh yeah, it makes me feel really good. But there's all sorts of research that proves that too.
And plants can be a great holiday gift. What are some of your favorites for?
I have to admit, I'm a sucker for those great big amaryllis bulbs.
I love those too.
Yeah, especially the ones that, you know, they'll send up two complete blooming stalks, so you get eight huge blossoms on them. And I've been able to keep them for several years, usually not with quite as big a production, but I really like those. I almost always every year ask for those for Santa for his Christmas present.
Yeah, that's a great one. Although I can never... Somehow they never seem to last for me.
From year to year? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You really have to be able to take them outside, treat them as a houseplant, give them plenty of light. And then I take them out and put them in the ground bulb, you know, pot and all. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be full sun, but kind of part sun so that bulb restores. And I really have, especially with the big bulbs. Now, it may be that they're kind of living off of the fact that they were so huge to begin with. But I've really been able to keep them usually about 3 or 4 years. So.
And what about fragrance? Is there something that you really like that's...
You know, that's to me, that's a lot harder.
It is hard.
But I actually thought of the easiest one for fragrance, which some people out there are going to go, oh, no, are paper whites. And I like the fragrance of paper whites, but they're, you know, they're easy to grow. You can usually buy them, put them in rocks. You don't have to pot them up in dirt. And there are some now that are supposed to be better scented, but I think it's one of those you either like the smell or you don't.
Christina in Glenwood City is joining us now. Christina, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi there, thank you. Well, as we go into the holiday season, poinsettia and Christmas cactus are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Hear how to care for each of them, and thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
On both of them, well, let's start with poinsettias first. It's important. We're having warm enough temperatures so that you shouldn't have to worry about taking them outside as you bring them home and shocking them. But if it's really cold, they usually are in a bag of some sort, so you want to help protect them when you're getting them home. When you get them home, keep them out of hot drafts, so away from heating ducts and that kind of thing. They will stay in a room. You don't have to put them right in a window. You can leave them back a little bit, and they'll be just fine. Keep them moist, but not too wet, because too wet will shorten their lifespan. lifespan more than anything else. But they'll usually last quite a long time. I prefer a little bit cooler room. If you get up, you know, up mid-70s or so, that'll shorten the lifespan on them, too.
Yeah, cool and not a lot of water.
Don't let them completely dry out. But so keep them moist. Stick your finger in to make sure that they stay moist. The thing about poinsettias is you can keep those from year to year also.
Yeah.
And continue after the bracts, the colorful red part disappears. Then what you should do is treat it like a houseplant, keep it in a sunny location, continue to keep it moist. And then that's another one that you move outside during the summertime. And then in the fall, bring it back inside. And then the key on that is that dark treatment right. In order to force it to bloom again. So it's a little tricky. There are some people that are very successful with it, some less so. But
It can be done.
It can be. Christmas cactus is, because it's one of those succulent family, is usually pretty easy to take care of, and it makes a great houseplant. So Christmas cactus, a lot of light. I would prefer a south window for Christmas cactus, although I've certainly seen them in east and west windows. They will tolerate the cold of being up close to the window. In fact, my mother used to always call me every year and say, my Christmas cactus is blooming, and I didn't do anything to it because some Christmas cactus also have to have that dark treatment. Well, the other thing with Christmas cactus is it likes that cold temperature. So the blooms would set on the side next to the window, and then she'd turn it, and then it set flowers on the other side, and she'd turn it and everything. So don't overwater. Again, it's a succulent, so too much water can be a real problem with it. But otherwise, they're really easy to take care of.
Yeah, I had one in my office. This was some years back, and it flowered all the time.
Yeah,
it was kind of practically, you know, because I took no care of it at all.
Right.
It was always too dry. It was cold in the office, mm-hmm. especially in the evenings, and I lost it. I went to Trinidad for a year, and of course the plant stayed. But somebody even took less care of it than me, and it died. I'm sorry because it had gotten really big, and it was fun.
Yeah, they are very easy. I mean, we had one in the office that I'm in Kenosha, the county building. And it was huge, and it just got minimal care, and it did great. So this one of those that it's my kind of plant. The less you care for it, the better it does.
Christina, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way. If you have a question, comment, maybe you've got a question about plants to give as a gift, or maybe you've got some questions about forcing bulbs, and maybe you've got some questions on a plant that you've got going, or plants that you have going in your house right now. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show, and certainly we would love to hear from you. And so plants for gifts, I really do enjoy plants for gifts. I know I was looking at something from the Forestry Club at the UW-Madison. Mm-hmm. They've got their wreaths and trees actually Saturday and Sunday. And so 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. And so they're selling wreaths, which are always a nice gift, and obviously the Christmas trees as well.
Yeah. Well, and you want to keep those in a cool place for the wreaths because you can't water those anymore. If you're in a warmer place, you might even spritz them with a little bit of water once in a while to help keep them, you know, a little bit fresher looking. For Christmas trees, I don't know, do you have somebody talk about Christmas trees or not?
We haven't.
It's really important when you bring a Christmas tree home that you make a fresh cut on it before you stick it into the pot. In fact, we always got a 5-gallon bucket, and we'd take the girls out and we'd cut it and then bring it home and make a fresh cut and put it in a 5-gallon bucket. And it quite often would suck up a lot of that water that we'd put in that 5-gallon bucket, and then eventually transfer it to the stand. And always look for a stand with a lot of water and or as much volume in that stand as you can. And then the important thing is to make sure you keep that watered. And just regular water works. You know, there used to be all these things about put a penny in the water, put sugar in, put Coke in, you know, all those kinds of things. And plain water seems to work as well as anything. But the key is making sure that that bottom never goes uncovered by water. Because if it does, then it actually kind of seals off, and then you have problems with
our tree gets breakfast time, it gets watered, and then again, dinner time in the evening, it gets watered. So it gets, we water twice a day just to make sure that the bottom is not going to go dry. And, but it's surprising how much one of those trees will suck up in the course of a day or overnight. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, think about it. That's how they live. They have to. And if it's warmer, they're actually going to use more water because they continue to photosynthesize. They're a living plant. So, I mean, even though they don't have the root systems attached anymore, they're still living. And so as long as those cells are living and it's photosynthesizing, it's going to be using water.
We have Joy in Milton online to talk with you, Barb. Hi, Joy.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Well, I received 2 orange plants a couple of years ago, and I would like to know the proper way to take care of them. They're not producing any oranges, and they're losing quite a bit of their leaves. So what's the proper way to take care of them?
Well, I will have to admit that this is not my particular area of expertise. My colleague in Racine County, Patty Naga, is the one that often answers those kinds of questions because she grows those. But anytime I see or we have where leaves are dropping on any of the houseplants, and especially the ones that are trees, that are actually woody plants, I start to think about, is it getting overwatered? Because overwatering, where that root system gets damaged because it's just been too wet, they will start to yellow and drop leaves. Also, if they were growing pretty well during the rest of the season, did you have them outside this summer at all, or have they been in the house all year?
No, we took them outside.
Okay. All right. That explains. Uh-huh. So when you bring them in, what happens is that you are now changing them so they get, even if you've got them in a south window with lots of light, the amount of light they're getting is about half of what they were getting outside. So they've lost a tremendous amount of light. The temperatures, the humidity are very different. So what tends to happen is that they will drop leaves. And one of the things that some plants will do, hibiscus do this also, is that they will drop their leaves that they've had from the outside, which tend to be a smaller, thicker leaf because they're in more sun, and form new leaves for that less sunlight and those different environmental conditions that they've gotten inside. So I would definitely check the watering to make sure that you're not overwatering, because the amount of water that they had to have outside would be much more than now that they're growing slower and they have less light indoors. So check that. Make sure that they're not getting a draft, because that will also increase the chance that they'll drop leaves. So I would check all of those kinds of conditions. If everything seems to be okay, I just keep an eye on them. They certainly could very well relief.
Good luck. Thanks, Joy, for calling. Appreciate it very much. Barb Larson, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Kenosha County, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer, on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Barb Larson on this edition of Garden Talk. Great to have her along. Larry Mueller here. Thank you for listening in. And Jane in River Hills, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi there. I have had great luck with growing Christmas cactus in this really sunny south window. I have many plants, and they bloom many times a year. But I want to know what would be on the list of what the other flowering plants that I could get to continue growing, not just for one season.
I was thinking there's lots. So I'm trying to think of things like. Another one that's really common are some of the hibiscus that you can take in and out.
I've had trouble with those because whenever they come in or go out, they go into some sort of shock.
Well, we just were talking to the lady about the orange, and they do go into shock as you do in and out, so they will drop leaves and make that transition. They will come back. Yeah, don't give up on them. Or if you don't like them doing that, leave them inside. Mm-hmm. Do that too.
I've never had to do anything with these Christmas cactus. In fact, the question I would have too is, should I repot them after? I mean, I know they like being pot bound, but they've been in like 5 or 7 years in the same little pot.
You know, if you're not seeing that they're struggling, if they seem to be doing fine, this is if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
they should be just fine. Yeah, okay. Yeah. The other thing is to think about, even though they're not flowering, if you're having good luck with the Christmas cactus and you like that really low maintenance kind of thing, think about sticking with some of the other succulents and cactus and some of those kinds of things, because they can be really pretty. They're always doing this grafting, which there's the different colors on top of the green on the bottom. So those are pretty, pretty easy to, obviously very easy. I always like things like the living stones. They kind of don't do that much. There's pencil plants, which are really interesting. So, they're not flowers, but they are pretty interesting. I never know which way to pronounce it. Kalanchoe or Kalanchoe, those are very pretty. Those are actually a succulent. They come in a variegated. They're either orange. You can usually get pink or red flowers on them, or even yellow. And their care would be very similar to a Christmas cactus, too.
Yeah. So those are pretty.
They are. And they are really bright and lots of flowers on them. So you may want to think about some of those.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it. Ted in West Dallas. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good. I'll make this kind of brief. I have a evergreen tree that came up by itself, but came up in a part of the yard where it wouldn't have allowed, for its full canopy. So I did transplant it to a space where it can grow to its full width and height.
Okay, good.
The only thing is that this last summer, with all the drought that we had and everything, it seems to really affect it pretty badly. Right now, it's completely brown, but when I kind of like bend the branches, they're still very, very pliable. And I'm wondering, is there any chance that it's going to come back at all next spring?
I have no idea. I lost an evergreen. I lost a Black Hill spruce, which is tolerant of hot, dry conditions.
Yeah.
It was the evergreens. All the plants took a real hit, but the evergreens of the trees seem to really show more than anything else.
Yeah.
I've seen more awful looking conifers because of drought damage than any of the other trees and shrubs right now. Does it have buds on it? Are the buds nice and, kind of plump?
Boy, that's a good question. You know what? I will check that out. If that's the case, there might be some hope.
If that's the chance, there might be some hope. Oh, now, the other thing to think about, though, is it's going to be really ugly.
It's going to be scraggly.
About 3 to 5 years until it grows out. But if the buds aren't nice and kind of healthy and plump and moist, I think it's
the chainsaw.
The one cut prune at the ground line.
There you go. Well, you know what? I think we'll take a chance on it. And if it's straggly for a few years, I mean, maybe that's the price we pay. If it lives, I mean, that's okay by me.
Well, it's not that you have a lot invested in it other than your time.
I mean, just the fact that it came up by itself and it was doing so great.
Yeah.
This summer.
We had a little evergreen, and this is a year when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We had an evergreen that came up that way in our lawn, and my dad didn't like where it was, so he literally pulled it out by the roots. And my brother who had a sandbox, took the tree and jammed it in the sandbox, and it took off. It really started to grow. So after a while, my dad took it out of the sandbox and planted it, and then, of course, it died.
Yeah. Because it didn't have good enough drainage when it moved it.
That's funny, but it's not. Well, hey, thanks a lot. I'll check out those buds.
Okay,
thanks,
great.
Thanks, Ted. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org. Or if you got a question that you want to post on my Facebook page, or maybe you got a kind of a cool plant, or maybe you got a plant that's experiencing problems, Barb and I can take a look at it and see if we can diagnose it. No, Barb, let's put it that way. Larry is not going to be diagnosed.
I don't know. You've been doing this long enough here.
Oh, man. Arnie in Plainfield, your turn. Hi, Arnie.
Hi. I've got a question on hazelnuts. I'm interested in maybe planting some for a snow fence, but also in the nuts. And I'm assuming, from what I've seen, it's all just bushes. It's not a true tree, correct?
The native hazelnuts are shrubs. So if you're looking at Corallus americana, that's the shrub hazelnut. That's the one that the wildlife would like the best. There is a lot of breeding and research being done on hazelnuts and about for hazelnut production. Actually, one of my colleagues up in the far north, Jason Fishbach up in Ashland, yeah. Bayfield area, has been very involved in that. But just the standard American hazelnut would be the one that's native to Wisconsin and the one I would recommend for it. Now, there are hazelnut trees, but the hazelnut trees are not American. They're actually, I think most of them, the one I'm thinking of is probably Middle Eastern, yeah. That kind of thing. So there, if you want a hazelnut tree, they are, but we're back to they're not a native plant. So it doesn't mean that the animals, you know, squirrels or whatever, might not eat the hazelnuts, because they probably will. But they would be much happier with having the shrubs. And if you're trying to look at it as kind of a snow fence, I think I'd rather have the shrub anyway.
I would, too. It's going to do you a lot better.
Yeah. I actually have two of them in my yard because I really like hazelnuts. And the animals like them. They're easy to grow. I have a sandier, a little bit. I'm in the southern part of the state, and I have a sandier soil, which is kind of odd. It's because I'm in a river outwash area. So anyway, they grow really well in those kinds of conditions.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because up here by Plainfield, we're all sand.
Yes, yeah, perfect. Yeah, that would be a great choice for up where you are.
Any recommendation on how close to plant those?
They are a suckering shrub, so they will spread, meaning that, you know, they come up more from root systems. They don't sucker quickly, but they will spread that way. I think a lot of it has to do with how fast do you want them to fill in.
Right.
I'm thinking I would want 4 to 5 feet between them, but if you want them to fill in faster, put them 3 feet apart.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Do they require quite a bit of water? Especially with the sandy soil?
Only for establishment. And then, well, it depends on how sandy and dry. You know, we get back to, if we have a year like we did this past year, they probably would need some water. But mine really did pretty well compared to everything else. Of course, they also lost quite a few of their leaves late in the summer, too, because of the drought. So.
True. Okay.
There you go, Arnie.
Oh, that's a good start.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Appreciate it very much. And Pat bought a poinsettia from a greenhouse, and the leaves are curling, wondering what might cause leaf curling. Now, if this is just, she just bought it, I assume she just bought it from, or within the last couple of weeks or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm guessing they're curling down. And that makes me wonder if it's a watering issue, either too wet or too dry. So you may want to kind of check that out. We talked earlier about being careful not to overwater your poinsettia. The other thing I would look for is turn those leaves over and look really closely to make sure you don't have little bugs under there.
Yeah.
So, because that's always a possibility. Most of our greenhouses are great about being careful about those kinds of things, but it would be important to take a look for any kind of insects.
Lois in Chippewa Falls. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was given a big peace lily plant, and they told me that it had to have a lot of water, which I have been doing. I've been watering it every day. But I see that the tips of the leaves are all turning brown.
Yeah.
That's too much water.
Yeah. Yes, that's too much water.
Too much water.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, they like to stay moist, but they don't like to be soppy wet.
Okay.
So, and hopefully they have holes in the bottom, so when you do water it, it drains out.
Yes.
The extra. Okay.
In fact, I water it from the bottom.
Oh, all right. So I would still be, you don't want that sitting
no.
in that wet. No,
no,
no, that's just too wet for it. The other is that sometimes, I think the brown tips are from too much moisture. But
okay.
some plants also don't like the added kind of chlorine and those kinds of things that we get in water. So some people will prefer to use, the best way for that is just let the watering can sit out for 24 hours and then water that way, too. So that might help it out a little bit, too. But I think it's just too wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'll cut back on watering.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I always tell, you've heard, probably heard me say, use your magic water tester. Stick your finger in the soil
mm-hmm.
and see how wet it is.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. We'll do that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lois. And Earl in Chautauqua, your turn. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little different problem here. I have six nice 10-foot pine trees.
Okay.
And I noticed this, and I have watered them quite heavily, and I noticed this last late summer, the interior of these spruce are all dying out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that it might be either a fungus or a bacterial disease that gets into and then it eats away and kills the interior of the tree until it finally destroys the tree. And I was told that a copper sulfate Bordeaux mixture with lime mixed together and then spray these trees would help eliminate or get rid of the bacteria.
No.
No.
If it's the interior and it's only the older needles on the very inner part, that's
mm-hmm.
normal.
That's what you
should
expect.
Evergreens they don't keep their needles forever. So pines and spruces and all of those, depending on the type of plant it is, keep those needles from 2 to 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And as they grow, those older needles then get to be kind of useless, and the tree gets rid of them.
Okay, because what I did have these pines brought into and planted about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It would have been a year ago this time, and they were very full and lush.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then what end up happening is this, like I said, late summer, I see that all my pines, the center part is
yep.
all up the tree, the needles are falling off.
Yes, that's exactly normal.
Exactly what
it is.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Now,
I was wondering where to get this copper sulfate because I have checked with feed mills, greenhouses, and nobody has any idea.
Yeah,
there's a reason there's no copper sulfate out there.
Well, and copper sulfate or Bordeaux mix is used and recommended for some bacterial problems.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if there is a disease problem on the conifers, it is usually fungal, so we may not even be recommending that product. So there's several things. First of all, I always tell people if you're seeing color change on your evergreens, where is it? If it's in the inner part, the older needles, especially in the late summer and fall, that's totally normal. As long as there's nice plump buds, the newer growth, it looks nice and healthy, don't worry about
it. Soft and flexible.
Yes, don't worry about
growth.
It. If you are seeing that there is banding, yellowing in the newer growth, then don't guess. Take it into your local take a sample into your local extension office, call them up, and they can send a sample to Brian Huddleston at the UW Plant Clinic, Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic. He can culture it out and he can tell you what the disease problem is
and
make a
it.
Recommendation. But it's one of those things, don't treat unless you know for sure you've got an insect or disease problem. But I don't think you do.
I don't either.
Okay.
I don't either.
Well, that's a relief because they're beautiful trees. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, you finally got these planted. And now we're taking a chance of losing them all.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a tree hugger, so I like to, the more trees, the better I like it.
I'm with you. I like them too. Thanks a lot, Earl, for calling. Appreciate it. You know, we were talking about plants and their calming effect earlier in the show. Here's an email from Nathan who says, after some homemade compost as potting soil, one of my containers holding a philodendron turned into a fruit fly factory. This is seriously undermining their calming effect. I've tried soapy sprays and an insecticide I had around, but the flies keep coming back. Any ideas?
Well, I guess the first thing I'd wonder, is it fruit flies? Which I guess if your compost wasn't completely composted, maybe it could be, although that's pretty rare in that. Or my other thought is it may be fungus gnats. And fungus gnats, one way I kind of tell the difference is if you let the potting soil really dry down and then you water it, then and you start seeing these little gnats kind of showing up again, that's probably fungal gnats. And for the recommendation for that is we usually say just try to keep your potting soil drier. Looks like you recently repotted, so your other option would be to repot, and you may want to think about if it's with your compost that you used, using a commercial potting soil to do that. But check first if you don't have fungus gnats or something in that compost.
Yeah.
It may be fungus gnats or something like that. So,
Sunny in Dousman. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, I called you some time ago when you had somebody on the air because I had a rose bush. And it's in a bucket. My son gave it to me 2 years ago. And it seemed to be doing really well, but then all of a sudden it wasn't. So I was told to cut it down or separate it, you know, break it up. So I did that. I threw away the bad part, and I've kept what seemed to be the good part. And it really is thriving. It's got beautiful greenery on it. But when I had the whole big bush, I left it outside during the winter, and I think maybe I wasn't supposed to do that. And then I took it into the garage for a while and left it there to keep it from getting too cold. So now I don't know what to do with the rose bush because it's like maybe a third the size that it used to be, but it's really looking pretty good. There's a little blackness on some of the stems. And I keep it in this big pot in a wagon. And yesterday I thought, it's 40 degrees out. I'm taking the rose outside. So I did that. But I'm not sure if I should leave it out at night. I'm not sure if I should leave it out.
Did you say what kind of rose you had? Do you know
what kind of rose it is?
No. I got it for Mother's Day 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, most of the roses are, even the hybrid teas and everything do better outside. And they need to go dormant in the wintertime. Does yours still have leaves on it?
It's got brand new fresh green growth. Because it's been sitting in the living room window.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's been in and it's been in the living room window, I guess I've seen especially the miniature roses where people will treat them as a houseplant for the wintertime. They struggle because they really aren't as happy as going dormant and being like a shrub outside. But don't go in and out with it at this point, because every time you go in and out, it adds more stress to the plant. And you take it out now and it's going to want to go dormant, and then you bring it back in and then it's going to go, well, wait a minute, you just told me to go dormant for the winter and now you want me to wake up again. And so decide one or the other, either let it go dormant and, you know, take it outside. It will, those root systems are definitely hardy down to probably 0 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit, if not a little colder. Even in a big pot, they should still be okay outside. If you're concerned about that, once they go dormant, put them in the garage because that'll keep it a little bit warmer. Or leave it inside and treat it as a houseplant, but not in and out.
There you go.
Well, this is the first time I've taken it out since I brought it in, but I have to move all my furniture to get that wagon in. It's fairly big.
Well, then...
Maybe I should leave it out.
Yeah.
It's an outdoor... Roses are outdoor plants.
Yeah, you might want to...
Well, I thought so, too, but...
You might want to be sort of... If it's in a pot, so you might want to be trying to insulate that around the pot.
Yeah, you could. That's why I said if it goes below about 10 degrees or so, even 20 degrees, then you do want to insulate the pot. You can even drop the pot into the ground if you can.
That's the easy way to do it.
Yeah, that's the easiest way.
And the pot is too big for me to move.
Yeah.
I have trouble moving it to turn it around in the wagon.
Yeah.
Well, if you could put some straw around the, or something around the pail or whatever it's in.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the other is, it is okay in a garage after it goes dormant. So, mm-hmm. Which will help moderate the temperature, as long as the garage doesn't get too warm. I'm more concerned about the garage getting too warm than too cold, than being too cold.
It's not a heated garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it is.
Is it an attached garage?
I live in an apartment building.
Okay. Okay.
I'd set it on top of a piece of wood or something.
Yeah.
Rather than just set on the cement, on the concrete.
Yeah.
Should I just leave it in the wagon?
Yeah,
you could. And then put, you know, as Larry said, put some styrofoam around the roots. What you want to protect is the root system.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the top. It's the roots.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that because it gave me beautiful roses this year. Only three of them, but it was a small bush by then.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
My grandson gave me an amaryllis two Christmases ago, and it stayed through this year, but now somebody told me to cut it back and leave it in the dark. I've got that in the kitchen. Do I water it or what?
No. It needs to go through a dormant period. So you want to stop watering it, let the leaves turn yellow, cut the leaves off, and then stick it in a closet or something for about 2 months, and then bring it back out, start watering it again, and hopefully it'll bloom for you.
Mm-hmm. And good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Barb Larson, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Kenosha County. Our guest, I'm Larry Mueller, here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I want to let you know about a little trip I'll be taking to Milwaukee. As a matter of fact, and you can participate in that. It's coming up on Friday, December 14th. I'll broadcast Garden Talk from downtown Milwaukee, and you can be a part of the live studio audience. Love to have you. We'll be at the Bradley Pavilion in the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, and Melinda Myers will be my guest, and I know we're going to have a lot of fun. That's 11 to 12:30 on Friday, December 14th, and excuse me, please come a little early, have a time to chat before and a little time to chat afterwards. And you can get all the details at www.wpr.org /Milwaukee. So it's WPR.org/Milwaukee, and you'll get all the great information about it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's always fun to be in front of a live audience. Barb?
It does. Well, we're live. We just don't get to see everybody's live. Faces.
But it is fun to see those faces, and that's the 14th of December. So we have John in Milwaukee, as a matter of fact, who has a question. So let's go to Milwaukee. And John, hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a couple of pruning-related questions. It has to do with a lilac or a rose of Sharon.
Okay.
All right.
They seem to have, you know, put buds out that would come back, like, in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if they can be pruned back because a couple of them are a little bit out of control.
Well, if you prune the lilac now, you will cut off the flower buds. So so I would recommend if you want maximum flowering, you wait until after the lilac blooms in late May or mid-May and then prune it. Now, one of the ways, this is like the old-fashioned lilac with lots of stems coming up.
Yeah.
Big one. Mm-hmm. So the recommended way for a lilac is to go in and every year cut out the biggest, thickest stems right at the ground line. And that will open up the plant. It will reduce insect and disease problems. It will help control the size, so it'll help bring the size down some. So you could do that now, or you can do that in spring, because you're only cutting out part of the stems and getting rid of them. So you would still have the flower buds on the stems that are left. But if you shear them, you know, or cut them back from top down, then you are going to lose the flowers on.
Yeah.
So most people like to wait, and I still recommend that cutting out the biggest stems at the ground line, about a third of them every year, right after they bloom. But I do it in spring. I usually do it in February or March on those nice warm kind of days when you want to get out, because I leave enough there that they'll still bloom, and I like to be able to see what I'm doing. I don't have to fight through the leaves to do it, so you can do it either way.
Yep.
Rose of Sharon blooms on new growth. So I used to have, my current dogs don't do it, but I used to have dogs that would go in and every winter they would break off. They wouldn't necessarily chew them, but they would break off all of the leaves on my Rose of Sharon. And they would come back and get 6 feet tall and bloom every year. So those, if you want to, you can cut those back. That doesn't make any difference. But remember, don't be startled. Rose of Sharon is late coming out of dormancy. So if it takes a while in spring, don't give up on them. They'll just late before they start growing.
No, we don't see flowers on them until really late summer.
That's normal.
Right.
Yeah. So, and there's there's a shrub that grows next to the lilac. I think it might be called spirea. It's very popular.
It pink shrub. Flowers or white flowers?
Well, it pushes flowers like off and on throughout the year. In the spring, it has very colorful leaves, then it pushes tiny flowers.
And they're pink or white?
In this case, they're pink.
Okay. Yeah. Those also bloom on new growth or what's called new wood. So, because they're summer blooming, those midsummer, and they help repeat, you can cut those down almost to the ground, too.
Mm-hmm. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And you can join in, too. We finally have open lines. Get you on at 1-800-642-1234. Barb Larson, our guest, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Kenosha County, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for listening in. And Nancy in East Troy, it's your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I think it's a Thanksgiving cactus. And it blooms, had all kinds of blooms on it. It's old. I've had it for years and years and years. All of a sudden, the other day I looked at it, and the thing is, it's broke off. All the pieces are broke off of it. And they're laying outside the pot. I went and got some new soil and a new pot. I just stuck the pieces in. I gave it a little bit of water because I know you don't water them a lot, but it's looking very bad.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes they'll do that. They just... I've certainly seen, like you described, really large old ones. My grandmother had one like that. But sometimes they'll get really woody. I think sometimes they just don't get a lot of new growth. And exactly what you did, actually, those new segments, those new sections, by breaking them off or the ones that drop off, those are how you propagate those things. What you did is exactly what I'd recommend. In fact, they will even start to sprout roots just sitting on a table, on a countertop or a tabletop.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
So just be patient, in other words?
And be careful not to overwater. In fact, sometimes I've even seen recommended that you want to leave them sitting on the countertop until you start to see those little rootlets starting on.
Okay.
Should be okay. That would definitely be the way to deal with that.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then just along the Christmas cactus line, Kathy and Kohler was wondering, you know, when do you prune them or can you prune them? When's the best time if you're going to prune?
Yeah, and I wouldn't do it this time of year because of them blooming and the buds set on the tips of those branches. So I think I would do them in, let me think about this. Mm-hmm. maybe spring, summertime as they're starting to really grow, that kind of thing. Yeah, I noticed she said that they're touching the table. Up to you, but I think I would lift it up so I can have that nice big full look. I think quite often that's what does happen with those big Christmas cactus.
Yeah.
A lot of people will put them in stands so they get that beautiful kind of flowing look to them.
Absolutely. We have, an email from Carol who loves sweet basil. And just as I started to read that, it went away from
jumped
me.
On you. Oh, I can see
me.
It.
There it is. I grow it inside and outside. Could you give some information on how to grow it inside so that the basil leaves don't dry up or shrink and the stems don't become woody?
Yeah, good for her that she's even growing basil indoors because it tends to be a little tricky. I would start with fresh. So grow from seed in the fall. I wouldn't bring outdoor ones in because I think that may be part of the reason it may be getting woody. And see if that helps out because I think you want to kind of start fresh ones periodically. And as they start to really get ratty, start new from seed again.
Mary in La Crosse. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm calling for two reasons. Number one, I really want to push the Master Gardener program. I took the Master Gardener, it's been over 15 years ago now, but the class I learned the most in was the soils class, and I'll tell you why. Somebody called in a little bit ago with a question about a peace lily and the tips turning brown, and I have so many plant books, and you read in the plant books, they turn brown. Overwater, underwater. The only way to know is to pull that plant out of the pot. And I worked at a greenhouse, this has been over 15 years ago also, where we raised thousands of poinsettias and also had a large, very large houseplant section. And so I learned a ton about both. And the seed catalogs and all those books were my reading. But with the soil, they have to pull it out of the pot. Otherwise, you don't know if it's overwatered or underwatered. I learned that roots only last for a couple of days, so teeny little root hairs, and plants have to take in air. The only way they take in air is through this drying process, and if the soil is too moist, then those little poor little plant hairs can't do their job. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage these people that are having trouble with their houseplants, take it out of the pot. If the roots are brown and yucky, they can prune them off. And hopefully if there are some white roots left, they can regenerate, put it in a small pot. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much fun. And with that poinsettia, I was going to wonder if that plant, it was probably overwatered, is my guess. But also, if it was sitting where hot air was blowing on it, that might be a reason that the leaves were drying up also. I could go on and on because I love playing with plants.
Well, that's good. And I'm glad you Told people about the Master Gardener program. I couldn't do my job, and neither could most of the any of the horticulture educators in the state, and a lot of the other ag agents and educators. We couldn't do it without the wonderful volunteer Master Gardeners.
They're great people.
Yeah, they are great people and very enthusiastic and really do many, many wonderful things for our state. So.
And, you know, pretty much if you can get those roots out and you've got mushy roots, if you can cut those away and you've still got white roots there, you can
sometimes bring a plant back. You can. It's pretty rare. And, ideally, you do pull it out of the pot and take a look at it, but not everybody can either do that or is comfortable doing that kind of thing. That's what I do, is I'll tip a pot over sometimes and take a look at it. But I find a lot of people just aren't comfortable doing that kind of thing and looking at the root system. Yeah. And yes, you are right. Plants need air. There are air spaces in the soil and in potting soil. That's why you have to have well-drained potting soil, because in those spaces between the soil particles, ideally it's half water and half air. And plants do need all those kinds of things. So, yeah, she's right.
She is absolutely right. It's always so much fun to talk about these plants. Barb Larson, our guest today, and here in the holiday season, what better than to talk about plants and to look at your plants and to take care of them and just to enjoy them during this holiday season. Barb Larson is a horticulture educator for UW Extension in Kenosha County. I'm Larry Mueller. She's our guest here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have with us today Barb Larson, who is a horticulture educator with UW Extension in Kenosha County. She has a wealth of information to share about your plants. And always happy to have you join in with a question or comment as we move along here today. So I hope you will at 1-800-642-1234 or at my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And Barb, thanks again for coming by and being with us.
I'm glad to be here. It's always nice to visit here.
We have so many callers online already. I'm just going to go to the phones. And Corey in Eau Claire, thank you for calling. Hello. What can we do for you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I have some blue spruce trees, probably 50, and they're quite old, at least 10 years old they've been planted.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been planting, you know, some smaller ones in between the years. But the tops, like, I get probably 5 a year where the tops, like, curl up and dry and point down and die. Is that a spider mite or?
No. If it was spider mites, you'd see problems all over the plant. There are some insects that will get in the tips. I'm guessing it's just the very top of it.
It's just the very top.
The very leader.
Yeah, I would say, you know, between a foot and a half down. The leader and then some that are, you know, sprouting out below it.
So right from the top to about a foot and a half down. Okay.
That doesn't even sound like some of the tip insects. No. Sometimes you get animals even that'll get in and do some kinds of damage. This may be one of those that if you can take either a photo or these are probably too big for you to take a sample or anything in. But if you go into, there is a horticulture educator, Aaron, is in the Eau Claire office. Go stop by, take her some photos and everything and see if she can help you figure out what's going on. I think sometimes we can't do this all over the radio.
You can get some longer shots and then some close up as you can get.
Yeah. And ideally, even if you can't take close ups she can actually see that stem in there.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. And, Jesse in Wanakee. Hi.
Howdy. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Question for you. I work at a golf course, and I've noticed a lot of our maples have this tar spot.
Yep.
I don't know if that's drought-related or at what point do we need to worry about the tree not being able to photosynthesize and basically choking it out if Well,
first of all, you don't have to worry about tar spot. It's a cosmetic disease. And for people who don't know, it's on these maples, and it looks, it's called tar spot because it looks like somebody
put a little tar on it.
There's a drop of tar on there.
Yep.
And you, sometimes you can have multiple spots on a single leaf. It's become extremely common in the southeast part of the state. We see it a lot in Kenosha, and it's been probably 3 or 4 years where we've seen just lots and lots of it. The only recommendation that we have is a good fall cleanup so that it reduces the inoculum, the fungal spores that are there to reinfect the following year. But it's one of those things that everybody has to do a good cleanup to help reduce those spores to help get rid of them. But otherwise, they just make the trees look bad in the late summer and fall. So, but it doesn't harm the health of the tree.
And then also, have you seen any other, like arborvitaes that got cooked out this year? We lost a bunch of them, and it's really rare to see that resilient of a plant.
Right.
Out like that.
Yes, it is. Normally, we talk about arborvitaes being kind of foolproof. However, you have to remember that arborvitaes are native to wetland areas. They are the white cedars, or when you talk about cedar swamps, those are arborvitaes. And so they did not like the drought. This was incredibly stressful on them. And I have seen a number of arborvitae hedges that are either dying or dead.
Okay.
Yeah, it was drought damage.
All righty.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah,
thanks,
appreciate
for calling.
It. Mm-hmm. Nancy in Brighton. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Barb. I love my Kenosha County extension, I have to tell you.
Well, thank you.
I visited you guys many a time. I have a question. I have a weed that keeps coming up right now. It is a real flat, green, waxy kind of weed. And I'm wondering, is there any point in putting in on a herbicide right now? Or are the temperatures too cold for it to
They're really too cold. A little earlier, there are some things that are called winter annuals that will come up from seed in the fall. I don't know that that's what this is. You could have to come visit me and bring a sample of that weed, and then I can tell you what it is. But those sometimes we will look at treating in the fall. But even though they're green, it's too cold for them really to be growing much. And in order for herbicides to work, the plants have to be really actively growing. So, no, I wouldn't do it now.
Well, I had very good luck using corn gluten to stop a lot of weeds.
Yep.
And I don't know how that will affect my soil long term, but because of where I live, and I live in a very woody area over 5 acres, if you could go weed every day and you would never get a handle on it, and I really have seen a dramatic decrease in weed since I started it.
Corn gluten it prevents seeds from germinating, and that what they have found is that it does have a cumulative effect. So it actually is, it's used, generally used for lawns instead that the best effect is after it's used for 3 years or so.
Okay.
It also is a fertilizer. It has a lot of it has nitrogen in it. So it's considered like a 10%. So like if you have 10-0-0 kind of fertilizer too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, great. And I know I can't plant some of my native plants that I'd like, some of my cone flowers and things that go to seed, but it's...
You can plant plants. You can't, but seed won't come up right.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I will be see you soon.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Nancy. Thanks a lot for calling in. Barb in Oshkosh. Hi to you.
Hello. This is just a great show, and I have a question that is probably very fundamental. We have a water softener here. I live out in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And can I water my indoor plants with the water?
We recommend, you know, the ideal is if you have access to hard water, water your plants, indoor plants with hard water. If you only have soft water, you can get away with using soft water. What the salt does is it makes the structure of the soil collapse. So in what would happen is, I don't know if you heard us talking a little earlier about that there's space in between the soil particles. There's what are called pores. And that's where the water and the air that the plant needs is in those soil pores. Salt kind of decreases the size of those pores. So if you use salt water, you're probably going to have to repot and use new potting soil more often.
Okay.
So that's why we recommend that you don't use soft water. And any place that does production of any kind of potted plant, house plants, they don't use soft water. But can you get away with it if you don't have any other choice? Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in too, by the way. We have some open lines. Get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Turn to Jim in Rice Lake next. Hi, Jim.
Hello. My name is Jim, and I have a question about two small maple trees that I have in the my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And the new growth from this past summer was all dead. Is that going to shoot up from next summer or not?
Well, tell me, because I didn't get up to Rice Lake. Were you in part of the drought this summer?
Well, not as bad as the southern part of the state by quite a bit, but yes, we were in a drought.
Okay. So especially on young plants, if you didn't water often enough, it could very well be drought damage. I would take a real close look at them and see if it's flexible. You can even take your fingernail and scrape the bark just a little bit to see if it's green underneath. Are the buds nice and plump and you know, healthy looking? If not, they may not come back, or it could be that the outer edges could have dieback and it may sprout from closer into the trunk and it may look kind of funny. So a lot of these, on a lot of this drought damage, it's going to just be kind of a wait and see what happens with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck, Jim. Thanks a lot for calling. And of course, Rice Lake, that area did have drought the last 3-4
for a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
And so, I actually was looking this week at the U.S. Drought Monitor, and we're still in drought.
Yeah.
So pretty significant.
Katie lives in southern Wisconsin, is planning to move soon, would like to take some of her perennials. Can she move them now? It's supposed to be warmer this weekend. If it is possible, you know, any advice you could give on that?
Yeah, you can move them, Katie, especially if you're moving them and just transplanting them into a new location. My biggest concern with transplanting this late in the season is that as we go into winter and we possibly get freeze and thaw once we get into midwinter, that they haven't established any kind of a root system and they'll pop right out of the ground. So if you transplant them now, if you don't have any choice, you have to move them now, not wait until spring. Make sure that when you transplant them, after we have hopefully a little more cold weather and the soil gets nice and cold, then I would mulch them really well to help keep them cold.
Jeff in Kenosha wonders if you can start evergreens from pine cones, and if so, how do you do it?
Yes, you can. That's where the seeds are. I take the seeds out. I don't just plant the pine cone, although you could.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way to do trees from seed is to plant them in the ground in the fall, because that's what Mother Nature does. And then just kind of mimic fall.
And I think the same, we got acorns from... John was wondering, he's in Nino, acorns from a red oak.
Mm-hmm.
In Lake Tomahawk area. Could he replant that in the Wisconsin Dells area? So there's, I don't know, 100 miles or so.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about that. You always worry more about getting something, a seed from a plant that grows farther south, even if it's native to that area, and moving it north, because it may not make it through the wintertime. Going south, especially 100 miles, should be fine.
Warren in Beloit, your turn. Hi, Warren.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I guess I've got a bunch of dead arborvitaes also. I didn't really care for them. A fairly new house, so I was planning on pulling them out anyways. Now, can I pull them out and put apple trees there, or is that kind of too close to the cedar family?
No, no. Apples and cedars aren't even in the same family. They're not related at all.
Right. I just thought that you couldn't put apple trees near where cedars have been.
Okay. Well, what you're thinking of is the disease called apple cedar rust. And that blows in the air, and that's why you may have heard that you shouldn't plant them close together. But what you want is you want apples that are disease resistant anyway. So you want to look for apple varieties that are resistant to not only rust, apple cedar rust, but also to apple scab and hopefully some fire blight so that it's a better quality tree to begin
with.
Yeah,
you're going to be very careful. Really look at that label.
yeah. Do some research. We've got some great information on our publication's website, the Learning Store, and check it out and get varieties that are what you want. And apples are pretty high maintenance. So that's the other thing is if you they do require pruning and training. And depending on the quality of the apples that you want, you may also have to do regular sprays on it, too.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Sue in River Falls. Let's see if we can get you on. There we go. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I planted about 300 bulbs 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And the ground doesn't seem frozen yet.
No, it's not.
I mulch them when the ground is not frozen. And is straw inside black garbage bags a good way to mulch them?
Well, first of all, if you're normally would mulch bulbs, I guess it's okay. Maybe River Falls, you're far enough north that you have to. But normally, I don't worry about mulching bulbs because they're far enough underground that they stay cold and they're fine. But if you do want to mulch, yes, wait until the ground freezes or gets really cold. It's hard to tell. I used to always tell people wait until it freezes, and we've had these warm winters and the ground just doesn't freeze, especially in the southern part of the state. But it's not cold enough yet. And if you do want to mulch, mulch is fine, straw is fine, but not in garbage bags.
No.
Because you need air circulation. So if you're going to use a straw mulch, that's fine. You can also use curled up leaves or, you know, any of number of things that are fluffy. But the garbage bags, plastic bags, will actually make it really wet and kind of smother things. So
also, they're planted in between my hardy hibiscus. And when I got them, the fellow told me to use garbage bags with straw to put over them.
No.
Don't do that.
No. Don't do that. But so
what
I
kind of bulbs are they?
To protect my hardy hibiscus.
No, it's a hardy hibiscus. And your hardy hibiscus should be good. If it is borderline that you're really worried about the root systems getting damaged, yes, you could mulch it. But don't use plastic bags.
Plant it right over our septic tank where the ground is water.
Uh huh.
Warmer. Yeah. The ground is warmer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then you really don't want to.
No.
No.
Don't even put straw.
If it makes you feel better, put straw on. That's fine, but wait until the ground gets either frozen or really, really cold.
Okay. Yeah.
But
you're not
no
going to do it now.
No plastic bags.
January.
Yeah. Yes. I used to tell people think Thanksgiving or the 1st of December, but you're right. I think I'm saying January now.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. And Helen in Madison. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I have a Christmas cactus. Now, I have it outside all summer, standing next to the house behind some shrubs.
Okay.
When I brought it in, maybe about 6 weeks ago, all the leaves have white spots on it. But it also had buds on it already, so it has bloomed.
Okay.
But these white spots are on all the leaves.
I'm wondering if you have bugs that are white spots. Yeah, either I never seen it because I don't take my Christmas cactus outside, but you know, it's a possible that some of the scales or mealybugs or something like that. So you may want to get a magnifying glass. Okay. And take a real close look at those white spots and see what they are. If that's difficult for you, take a little sample with the white spots on it and go visit our friend Lisa Johnson at the Dane County UW Extension Office, and she can tell you what's going on with it, too.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Barb, what are you going to be watching for next season that might be related to the drought this year?
I'm looking at trees and shrubs. I'm really concerned about them, and I think we're going to have to watch them very carefully for the next probably 3 to 5 years at least. I'm sure Phil Pilateri has talked about our concern with borers in them because they go under stress. We are going to have to baby these plants for several years, and if it stays in drought conditions, we're going to have to water these plants.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the important things. These are the really high value kinds of plants in our landscape. These are what make our environment so beautiful, and we've got to take care of them.
Yeah, and it's not that all that expensive. I mean, you need to water.
Yeah, yeah, it's...
Someone was wondering, what about spring bulbs? Could I still drop them in the ground?
Sure. We just talked about it. The ground's not frozen. You can put them in. Actually, interesting thing about those spring flowering bulbs, they grow roots in the fall, and they're actually active in the fall and winter, growing a root system before they start sprouting. So it's nicer to do them earlier in the fall because then they can establish a little bigger root system. But as long as the ground isn't frozen and you can dig, you can put those bulbs in.
And what was the other question that somebody had? Pruning.
Yes.
Pruning to do this fall and into the winter?
You can. Fall is, especially things like oaks, we recommend oaks during the dormant season. We talked about some of the shrubs you can go ahead and do. A lot of people save that for spring. In some ways, that's my preferred February, March. Yeah. But you can certainly do, if this is the best time for you, you can also do it now. Mm. So,
and I wanted to mention again that coming up on Friday, December 14th, I'll be broadcasting a garden talk from downtown Milwaukee. And you, as you listen in, you can be part of that live studio audience. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be in the Bradley Pavilion, and that's in the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, so it's downtown Milwaukee. And Melinda Myers is going to be my guest, and she's always a lot of fun. And it's the show, of course, runs from 11 to 12:30. Again, it's Friday, December 14th. And, of course, we'd want people to come early so we'd have a chance to visit, and then you would get a spot to sit and so forth, and stick around a little bit afterwards for some conversations as well. You can get all of the details for that at WPR.org/Milwaukee. That's WPR.org/Milwaukee. I think Judith posted a little video up on my Facebook page, an invite on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. So if you want to see my mug and talk and me talking about it, well, you can go there too. And Barb, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Look forward to your next visit. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Barb Larson, our guest, she'll be back and she'll do it again with us. And thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.